Muffy Spirituality Center presents Muffin Talk with Beate.
Kia ora and welcome to our Muffin Talk. Muffin Talk is brought to you by the Mercy Spirituality Center in Ipsum. We are a center for retreats, spiritual guidance, Christian meditation and personal development. Once a week, I invite a visitor to join me in the studio to talk about our center, our programs, social justice or the Catholic Church. My visitor today is Diana Fowey. Diana, a warm welcome and hi to our radio program.
Thank you, Beata.
Diana Fowey is originally from Wellington, but has been living and working in Auckland for more than 25 years. Diana has been educated in a Catholic school, and today she, as well as several of her family members, are involved in Catholic education in Auckland schools. Diana, you are a Wellington St. Mary's College old girl, correct?
I am.
What do you remember from your own time of being educated in a Catholic school?
Well, it's St. Mary's College was an extension for me from primary school because I was educated by the Mercy Sisters in what was originally St. Anthony's, Brooklyn in Wellington, and then became St. Bernard's. So we had Mercy Sisters who taught us, and those Mercy Sisters lived in a convent at the top of my street in Abel Smith Street in Wellington City. Primary school years, a sense of real joy in learning. The way that the sisters moved with us, exciting us, I think, for education, but also exciting us for a very natural love of God. So that was given to us very, very, very early. I'm born in 52, so that was going through, the late 50s and early 60s. So our daily reading after lunch would be The Story of a Soul by Therese. So most of us girls had Therese as our confirmation name. And then when it came time to go to college, there are two Mercy colleges in Wellington, so it could have been to St. Catherine's, but my parents sent me to St. Mary's, which was close on my bus route, so we lived in the city, so it was the bus route to St. Mary's. I loved my time there, and I think it's, again, those 2 feet. The sisters gave us a deep love of learning. I have a love of music, a love of the arts, a love of English, and I suppose it was an initial love of science through biology that really grew when I took up nursing later. But they made it exciting to be learners, learners of language. And then on the other foot, and I think it was through their very naturalness as really very beautiful human beings. They would play netball and things with us at lunchtime, the younger sisters, and I wasn't great at it, but it was part of our life. And with that, we got to see, I think, our journey with God, our journey with Jesus was a very natural journey.
So you had a real balance. You had the spiritual component, you had the physical component,
and the education.
And then the educational.
It was. And if I was to look back, it's quite hard to look back, you know, now to pull out, I suppose, plums from the cake. But my overarching was absolute joy, really, joy. I loved the sisters. I loved the life. I had made so many really beautiful friends some are still very close friends, and some are those nice friends that you see, you know, on the 5-yearly reunions. But in our what was called upper sixth, and now the kids would call seventh form, or year 13 in the latest, Sister Philippa, who was our headmistress, but was also our RE teacher, she invited very, very young Father Peter Cullinane, who's now Bishop Cullinane, and he was curate at the Sacred Heart Basilica Parish then, and he would come to us, I think in my memory it was Wednesday afternoons, and Sister would sit just off, out of the way, you know, at the back, not drawing our attention, not trying to control our questions, and would allow us to engage in a question and sharing session with Father Peter Cullinane. And he just, again, the love of God was such a very natural thing, not a pious voice, but interesting and engaging. And I found that very, very special, as did our year group. We were, I think, probably 20 or maybe-ish in that year. Now, two of my year group, became Mercy Sisters. And I actually entered Carmel, but a few years after, so I'd finished my degree, then I went into Carmel at that point, and just for a year. But I think a lot of that was a very natural transition. And also, the guys that we did our school musicals and things with, mainly we moved with St. Patrick's College guys, the Wellington City ones. Some of those became priests. Paul Bergen, he died, this ghastly skin cancer thing he developed. But he was my opposite in the school musical when we were in our last year at school. Other guys entered the brothers, entered the priests, often the Marist priests, the sisters. It sounds quite
contagious when you say that it's that love of God. It was not the piety, but it was the love of God that spoke out of them.
Yes, and it was, because we were all people who went to parties together. We shared a very relaxed social life with extended families and with friendship groups, and then with university friendship groups and things. We were moving very much with people for some, I'm not, I don't want to overlay it that for all God was the natural part of their life, but for enough of us so that we could move easily among those who were, I suppose, very much in love with God, and those for whom God was, part of my life, all of those kind of things, and the levels. Yeah.
But, you just mentioned you were thinking of entering, or you entered the Carmelites.
My mother tells me that I was four when I said to her that I was going to be a Carmelite. And I think it's possible. If I was to stop, I don't think that there was any time in my life when I haven't been aware that God absolutely is in love with me and in love with everybody and everything. So not just me, but in love with everybody. And that Jesus, so very much my relationship is with Jesus within that wonderful trinity of, Abba and Jesus and the Spirit, that Jesus also wanted me to be in love with him. And so all of my life, I was going to be a Carmelite. And then when I was at college in that very last year for about 6 months, when Natalie and Denise said, they were going to be Mercies, and we went for a live-in weekend with the Mercy Sisters. Again, a joy. But it wasn't mine. So at that point, at the very end of that last year at school, I started writing to the sisters in our Hillsborough Carmelite monastery, and I would come up every month and visit them. And then I entered when I was 21, and I was there for a year. And then at the end of that year, the sisters said, possibly it wasn't my vocation at that time. Maybe it might be later. But to leave and to become a nurse. And so I did. So I left, became a nurse. And I'm not going to lie, it was, I suppose in a way, at that time it was a bit like a broken engagement, maybe. But he was still so much in my life. So we had to find a new way of being friends. Jesus and me, we were always in prayer. The prayer, contemplation, living in the presence of God it's just never not been my life. Yeah. So even in that time of sadness, it was right there. And I became a nurse.
And you've always kept the connection to the Catholic Church.
Yes, I have. And very much so through Carmel. And so when I was nursing, prayer was a very, very important part of my life. I went in post-grad nursing and I did coronary care. So you were often with people who were very, very close to death. Many lived. But those who died, it was a privilege, an honour, a joy to often be beside people who were heading on home to Jesus. So my prayer was part of my nursing as well.
Yeah. For those of you who've just tuned in, you're listening to Muffin Talk with Beate. This program is brought to you by the Mercy Spirituality Center in Ipsum. If you miss any of our programs, please check out www.planetaudio.org.nz/muffintalk or visit our website or Facebook page at Tingaka Waiora Mercy Spirituality Center. My visitor today is Diana Fowey. Diana has been involved in the Catholic Church for most of her life, and she, as she just said, she has developed a very personal relationship to Jesus, and prayer is a big part of her life. Diana, whereas many New Zealanders, they go on their so-called OE, or overseas experience, for a few months or a year, you traveled quite extensively and you visited many non-Catholic countries. Has this exposure to other countries and other faiths had an impact on your views and your life as a practicing Catholic?
I think that that's the delight, the fact that we are different, all loved by God, perhaps call the same one God by different names, would be my point of view. I did my quick OE, as you mentioned, you know, when I was 21, before I entered Carmel. But then once my husband and I were married and we had the first four of our children, my mum had been shouting me bits of study every year. In music was what I chose to do. And at the end of each year, I'd say to my husband, well, I want to go and discover the music of Indonesia. I want to discover the music of Malaysia. And then I suppose for us, one of the most important was our first of our journeys to India. At that time, Mother Teresa was still alive. And so with our four daughters, at that age, they would have been, I think, possibly 8, 9, and the twins would have been 10. We worked with Mother Teresa in Shishu Bhavan, which is the orphanage, only 1 week. But so every morning we would all go to Mass at 5:30, 6 o'clock with the sisters. Then we would have a drink of milk and a banana, and then we would go off to our work. And Mother Teresa, you know, would run down the stairs and say, you know, with her hands clapping, a little person, maybe only 4'10", but wonderful energy. And she'd say, it's so wonderful that you're all here together. Because there we were, of all different nations, all different religions, all ages. It was a huge group of volunteers. But now it's time to go out and work for the Lord. And so then we would go off into our day. And coming home each day, because it was a routine, in Calcutta, this is, as we were walking home, we would walk through the streets, the same streets, each day. And we'd started to make eye contact with, in those days, there were many people living in the street. Like their home, it was just to be wrapped in a shawl. And they were like using sticks to make small fires and cooking their meal right where we were going. And we would start to make contact. And because my husband and I were there with children, we weren't really being seen as tourists. I think we were seen as extended. We were family. And on one day, My husband was carrying the littlest of ours, the 8-year-old. He was carrying her, and he looked across, and one of the men, like there at the street, he picked up his little girl and kind of looked to my husband to smile, and my husband smiled back to him. You know, this, it's a long time ago. That little 8-year-old girl then is now, 32 and has children of her own. But it feels like today the men, fathers of daughters. Yeah, so we travelled with our children every Christmas holidays. My husband is in teaching. All of our daughters are in teaching except our youngest, a 22-year-old who's still going through study. And three of the husbands are also teachers. So, and
so
all
we're
and
teaching
all in
family.
Yes, but we're all in Catholic education as well. So it's I think that for my daughters as well, that first experience of India, and they had been travelling in third world countries, I don't know how you say it, or in other, amongst other people, for 5 Christmases before that, because our Tessie was just 3 the first time we took the children to Thailand. So it was 5 years of every Christmas, 6 weeks, we'd go a backpack for me and my husband, a little knapsack for the children, and we lived basically in homestay situations. So my children would be playing with the children of the home. No shared language, but a shared love of crayons and felts, and I would always take with me pens and colouring things.
Well, you mentioned that you had 4 children, 5 daughters, so your mother and a wife, and it must have been a very busy life. And now you say your daughters are grown up, they have their own families. So how did you cope with when the time when the daughters all left the house?
Well, if I say that in the present, we all live in Mount Albert between four homes. Apart. So we are all within 3 minutes of one another. So if I wake in the middle of the night, I can see one daughter, perhaps turning on the light to feed her baby. The little one who lives within the same grounds crawls in through the dog door to say hello to me in the early hours.
So you have them also almost like a village.
Yeah. But there have been, the daughters have left home,
yeah.
But it's been staggered. So there's never been a time when there hasn't been daughters. They've travelled, they've got their own experience. And though we have five of our own, we have a sixth. So I suppose it would be nearly 20 years ago now, a lass who is, her cousins were friends of my daughters. And she was born in Mumbai in India, but grew up in Bahrain. And so I would regard her as daughter number six. She lived in our family till she left home to get married. She is a daughter. To my children, she is a sister. I know that your theme at the moment is connectedness. So our connections with the Indian community, they're huge. They're huge. I would regard many of my number six. Her family I see as extended to us. I share her with her own mum and her own aunties. In our home, we've always had international students. Yeah. At present, no, because our family has grown too big. But my children grow up with students living with them of all ages, Christian, not Christian, it didn't matter.
And now you're working at the Pompalia Centre.
Yes.
Can you tell us a little bit more about your role in the Pompalia Centre?
Okay, so I'm the Auckland Diocesan Regional Coordinator for Walk by Faith, which is a national adult faith formation program. So it's endorsed by our Catholic Bishops Conference here in New Zealand. If I put it very quickly, it's a way of life. The program is done face to face, but also distance over 3 years. But it's making your faith and your life make meaning one with another. It's unpacking the scriptures. You meet in small groups about every 6 weeks, a small tutorial group, and are guided with prayer, with scripture, and,
so are you
and
going
with the
in these
church's
groups?
Teachings.
Are you going with these groups? Or
yes,
how does
at the moment, I have my finger in every group at the moment, basically from Kaitaia, one lady from, and all down through the parishes, and now one lady is coming across from Thames, but Thames, Sister Paula in Thames is looking at beginning Walk by Faith. So the ideal is that I'm helping to train tutors. So we're doing apprenticeship with tutors in groups through the diocese. So eventually I will stand back and just be there, I suppose, for running retreats and guiding tutors. But at the moment I'm hands-on and loving it, loving being in different groups, different parishes, different school groups as well are doing Walk by Faith.
Do you always have enough tutors?
We can always do with more tutors. Always, always more tutors. If people to put up their hand and say yes, and I would walk beside them as closely as they needed. And what I have found too here in Auckland, we have a lot of support. Like with prayer, I've been so many times on those wonderful Monday evenings that Sister Catherine runs over at the Mercy Spirituality Centre. And my own daughters shouted me my first retreat with Joy Cowley. And my daughters have gone with me to Stuart Cellar. And then most recently, my younger daughter, who's at Elam, she came to this wonderful icon that was done with Father Paul from the Greek Orthodox Church and with our own Michael from the icon.
Michael Kirvin,
yes, from the icon writing. And so for us, whether it be the muffin break in the middle of the morning or the, more usually the evenings, but on the weekends, it's a very much a faith support and a joy from flax weaving. I've been there and learned and experienced, and it's a wonderful gift that the Mercy Spirituality Centre is in our little village of Auckland.
And you're still connected to Mercy?
so truly still connected to mercy. Yeah, there is something in that that never goes away. Even women that I've met who I didn't go to school with or anything, but when you get chatting and you find that you've got a mercy connection, not necessarily from your own college, but from another mercy college around the country, there's a straight route to tap into. Yeah, oh. And so to be honest, I think my closest friends are probably mercy women. Not necessarily the ones I went to school with, though I have a love of them too.
You know that we also have every now and then a Sunday afternoon, 2 hours where we have a gathering in Mercy. So that's an open event where anybody can come who would like to reflect and gather in Mercy. So some of the, usually they're mostly ladies, but we are happy to always welcome men. And in these groups, they reflect on the topic. It's usually led by Sister Catherine Wiles Pickard.
Yeah.
And so they share, and it's just to be together and gather in mercy. And it's open for anybody. So just have a look at the website. It's I think it starts from 1:30 until 3 o'clock on 4 or 5 Sundays a year.
Well, that would be something to look at, because the mercy spirituality is a taproot, and the Carmelite spirituality for me, because I'm part of the Order of the Secular Carmelites, so meeting at the Carmelite monastery, so with all of this support, support and growth and enjoyment with walking together with like-minded, not the same, but like-minded. And I think that that's another huge part of our faith, very much here in the Auckland Diocese. When we're in our parish community, we're there with every possible race, every possible upbringing, people of all ability, you know, with their physical ability and with their natural ability with arts and music and things too. But it's for me, that's one of the wonders of being at Mass, and I am part of the St. Mary's Mount Albert Parish, and so the way our church developed post-Vatican II, we actually sit looking across the altar and across the lectern to one another on either sides of the church. And it's, I suppose, one of the delights of the weekday Masses, to be sitting among people of all nationalities, and then the Sunday Mass to sit and actually look across and see all ages, all nationalities, just all kinds coming together. Yeah, wonderful.
Mm. Yeah, it's a very special setup, the church in Mount Albert.
Yes, it is.
St. Mary's Church.
Yeah. It's
You have the priest and the tabernacle in the centre.
No, it's actually just the altar is in the centre.
Just the altar.
And the lectern is opposite it, mm-hmm. where the tabernacle is towards one end of the church, where there's a Blessed Sacrament chapel made there, so that we've still got that place to go for quiet prayer time. Yeah, I think so, because Jesus gathered with his friends around the table, not, well, in my view, not as part of an audience, but just part of a shared meal. So to look across and, you know, see a girlfriend or see someone whose children are growing and the grandchildren are growing, and wonderful to be part of a village in church, yeah.
And you also said it's the being on the same level in the ways of we are similar, but we are still diverse.
Yes, yes.
And we have a common connection.
I think that I became aware of that when our Abigail came to live with us. For her parents, it was really important that she came to live within a Catholic family and a family that, because we truly are a Catholic family. We're very involved in our Catholic faith, but very involved in outreach to others. And then I think as the years went by and her family could see that she was making many friends of different races, as you do in Auckland, it became more and more important for them that the Catholic connection was the bit that was the ground root. All races found a commonality within I suppose the fact that Catholic meaning universal, it makes sense, doesn't it?
Yeah, yeah.
Yes.
So when you have your challenges in your life that everybody has, where do you draw your strength and your energy from?
Oh, just straight with Jesus. I can share moments of wonder with him through any day, in the beauty of creation, in the joy of people. And when life is sad, as it is, I can just weep with him and know that he's weeping with me, and not just with me, but with everybody. And so there's the actual thing, isn't it? We, in all people, we find Jesus, and we find Jesus in all people. And if we're not actually finding him there, I wouldn't be too sure what God we're finding. So when we come in, so we find him in the Word, and we find him in his presence in people, in his presence in creation. So yeah, you asked, where do I go when I'm sad? I don't actually, it's not feeling like going as in going aside. It's going within, and he's always within.
Thank you very much. Thank you for these reflections.
Thank you,
Diana.
Oh, Beata, thank you for the chance to chat like this across a table.
And you mentioned Father Stuart Zeller and his talk last year. He gave four sessions on a Lenten series on the Gospel of St. John. And Father Stuart has done some more work into it, and so he has now produced 5 sessions. And to give the chance to those who have to work during the day and can't make it during the day, we've decided to have evening sessions. So they will start on Thursday, the 22nd of February. And so we're looking forward to the 5 sessions with Father Stuart Zeller. And you also mentioned music. Well, we have the German trio Adua, the two German ladies who are going to present a facilitator workshop on the 24th of February. That's a Saturday. And the topic is singing is like the air you breathe. A connectedness for body, soul and mind. And this event will take place at St. Mary's Historic Chapel in Ponsonby, New Street, because we don't have a piano in our Mercy Spirituality Center. And on the 27th of February, from 7 to 9, we'll have Rangi Davis, who is going to come and give a presentation on reconnecting broken connections using one Te Ao Māori approach of Whakawhanaungatanga and Hohorongo. This might sound a bit complicated if you don't speak Māori, but the presentation will be in English, and we will certainly find a wonderful sense of connectedness on that evening. And for all our events at the centre, please register with us per phone at Auckland 09-638-6238 or via our website at www.mercyspiritualitycentre.org.nz. And I thank you very much, Diana, and I hope that I'll see you frequently again at our Mercy Spirituality Center.
Of course. Looking forward to the coming ones.
And you have the program, and you can, now this year we also have an overview of all the programs in the year. Mm-hmm. So 6 months on one side and 6 months on the other side. So if any of the listeners would like to have one of these overviews or any other information, please don't hesitate to contact us and look at our website. And the Facebook page, we always put our information on these sources. And I wish you all the best for your work. And I hope that you can draw many people with you to walk in faith and to be close to Jesus and to God.
Thank you, Beata.
Thank you. I wish you all a blessed Friday and a good week ahead. Yeah.